This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Has reestablishing a winning culture been more difficult than even you expected?
I never thought that we would be able to reestablish a culture, you know, in year one. It's a process. It's hard to change a culture, and we're trying to put those pieces together. I think it would be a disservice, you know, to get to the end of the year and not know exactly what we have from a player or coaching perspective, and that has to be our focus.
When is it acceptable for the Patriots to be competitive again? That's something I want to get into.
Hilarious. So we've heard that a couple times now over the course of, what, a couple
of days?
2 days, yeah. Yeah, because that was on Sunday after the game, right?
Oh, that was yesterday morning.
That was yesterday morning, excuse me.
So we had a full day to think about the game, and everything else. And that's the answer he came up with.
Okay, and I know that I'm the resident Sean McVay honk, but when he says, I never even thought we could change the culture in year one, let me just take you back to 2017, the year of our Lord. Jeff Fisher had been fired by the LA Rams for going 4-12. Sean McVay came in, inherited the same quarterback who was considered a bust, and went from 4 wins to 11 and made the playoffs, and then the following year was in the Super Bowl. So he improved a 4-win team, which Gerard Mayo also inherited, by 7 games, and then continued to make the playoffs, and obviously won a Super Bowl in 2021 and all of that. So to say that you never thought that you could change the culture in 1 year is insane, because that's what every team is attempting to do, basically, when they fire their coach. You're changing the culture in some degree, whether it's going from worst to not worst, or whether it's going from, you know, just missing out to getting in the playoffs, or maybe you even make the playoffs, but you want to win the whole thing. Like, that's what teams are trying to do. They're not all successful, but plenty of them have been able to do it. Like, you can't improve the team in 1 year?
I think the most egregious part there is I never even thought. Like, I never thought.
David, you never considered it.
Like, not we didn't accomplish it.
No.
We're not as good as I expected. Or, you know what? It has been more difficult than I thought.
It's a process.
It's my first year, and you know what? Yeah. I thought it's honestly something that I thought we would be able to establish more quickly. We're working on it, and we're making good progress or whatever. But, yeah, you know what? That is a little more difficult than I thought. I never thought.
No, not me. Never would have thought that.
What does he think about? Like,
I don't know.
He's not thinking about making adjustments in terms of how he coaches until next year. He's got a list he's working on that he's going to get to in the offseason. Apparently, he never thought about any of the assistant coaches or coordinators he would want around him, despite knowing a full year in advance that he was eventually going to be taking over the Patriots. Maybe he thought it'd be further down the line, but eventually he knew he would have this job. It was in writing in his contract he would have this job. It seems like he spent no time thinking about that. He never even thought about establishing a winning culture. So that is offensive, is what it is. Tom Curran said earlier when he joined us on a Tommy Tuesday at high noon, about an hour ago, he said they need to be competitive next year. He's not saying they will be, but they need to be competitive next year. 7, 8, 9 wins, something like that. And that, to me, is the proper timeline, Keith.
Yeah.
They have, as he detailed, a top five pick-ish. They have a ton of money to spend in free agency. And you're terrible again.
Do you view it as year two or year five of a rebuild?
I would lean more towards year five, but if you're being charitable, let's treat it as year two.
Okay.
Year two, you should turn this around and be competitive. Competitive next year, which means competitive for a playoff spot. Not competitive for a Super Bowl. Not a Super Bowl contender.
Yep.
Just competitive for a playoff spot? Yeah, next year, and it better be next year.
I know I'm just kind of cherry-picking random examples here, but here's another one that just came into my head.
Yeah, sure.
Andy Reid. You like Andy Reid at all?
Oh, very good coach.
So he inherited a Kansas City Chiefs team in 2012. Romeo Crennel was the skipper. They won 2 games.
Good team.
They won 2 games?
Yeah.
They hired Andy Reid in the 2013 season. Do you know how many wins they had? After two. They only won 2.
10.
11, and made the playoffs.
Nice.
Yeah. So was that a culture change, you think? Was the culture changed there?
Again, not every coach is going to do it in year one. I thought you were going to talk about Reed's first year in Philly. So Reed, it took a year It took a year for Reed in Philadelphia, okay? He inherited a 3-13 team. They went to 5-11 the next year. By year two, they were in the playoffs, 11 wins. They went to four straight NFC title games and a Super Bowl appearance in years whatever,
but he even,
3, 4, 5, 6.
But even the point is he improved the team his first year. They won two more games, and I'm sure they were on the upswing.
Bill Belichick in 2000. Yep. I don't think it was a great year by any means. But I think the goal was to build a winning culture, and maybe they achieved some of that in their first year. It didn't translate to wins right away.
No.
But they were attempting to build a winning culture. Mayo's not even thinking about it.
No. Mayo's never even crossed his mind.
I never thought in year one we would do that, which is, again, just wild.
But that was but also it's maddening because you go back to the offseason, and anytime Mayo or Wolf spoke, that's all it was that they were changing the culture, that they're changing the culture.
Yeah.
So you might not be successful in doing it, but to suggest that you never even thought about it when it seemed like your number one goal and talking point all offseason is crazy.
Until they did nothing in free agency, Keith, I was saying they should win 8, 9, 10 games next year because they should go out and be aggressive in free agency and get their quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, they were not.
No, I mean, they did nothing in free agency except re-sign all their own bums. They didn't go out and add to the team at all. They didn't make any big trades.
Yep.
So they drafted the quarterback, which I wanted and was the bare minimum, I guess, to get accomplished this year. And maybe that's the hardest thing to do when they did it and great. But I thought they should have been a competitive team this year, and they punted on that. So they damn sure better be competitive next year.
Yeah.
If they already wasted a whole year, you can't waste too many years of Drake May's development. Kearns made this point. He's on a rookie deal. You get 4 or 5 years, that's the window before these guys start costing a crap ton of money. Look at Miami and Tua. You know, look at some of the other quarterbacks around the league and the teams and how handcuffed they are to a degree. I mean, you can always fudge the numbers.
Yeah, but now there's no excuse.
No, there's no excuse right now. Get out there and spend. So they didn't do it last year. They better do it this year. And if they don't, they can fire everybody. I'm not sure. Mayo, Covington, Van Pelt, Wolf. I'm not sure any of them make it to next year, but if any of them do, they won't make it through another year if they're not competitive.
All right, job security, power rankings.
Yep.
Out of those four, who is most likely back all the way to least likely back?
Most likely back is probably still Mayo.
I think it is.
But I don't think he's super likely to be back. I read you Florio. Florio's been beating this drum for months. He's Mayo survives year one, he is going to be on the hot seat week one next year. So I don't think it's a guarantee he's back, but he's probably the safest. I would say Wolf next.
Probably. Yeah, probably Wolf next.
Then I guess Van Pelt by default, and Covington is.
Covington's probably right now on the hottest of the seats.
Right now, I didn't even read this earlier, Keith. Let me get Reese's notes, but do you agree he's on the hottest of hot seats?
I think so, and I know Kern was mentioning earlier all the different injuries and then suspension and stuff for players. Not on the defense, but the defense seems like it's much worse off than it should be.
Yeah.
And I think Mayo gets more of that blame, but Covington is the defensive coordinator, and Robert Kraft loves Jerod Mayo. Now, maybe that is starting to change slightly, maybe, just based on the you know what's been going on this season.
Yeah.
But I think if they were going to scapegoat anybody, it could easily be Covington, and then try to find a defensive coordinator with a lot more experience and bring him in.
Reese wrote today, you know how he kind of does like a Word document that he posts out in like different screen grabs? Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. It's lengthy.
It's long. Point seven, though, at the tail end of it. First-year defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington is in the spotlight to come up with better answers, is what he writes.
Uh-huh.
That's about as much edge and criticism as you're going to get from Mike Reese. When he says it puts a spotlight on him, that's a guy who is, you know, potentially coaching for his job down the stretch.
Well, there's a chance that, I mean, you have two more games with the Bills. And if the Bills need those games and if Josh Allen lights you up, I mean, there's an opportunity for a couple of more real lopsided, horrible defensive performances. Kyler Murray is kind of the hit or miss guy. There are games where he makes opposing defenses look really dumb. Then there's also a game like last week where Seattle just kind of gobbled him up. But that's another one where that could go either way. I mean, there's been too many guys this year that have just come in and had awesome games against the Patriots defense.
Mayo also said today, he was asked a lot of questions about Jabril Peppers. Jabril Peppers is in the building. Peppers talked to the media today, said, you know, he's not going to talk about the case on advice of his lawyer, but he has met with ownership. So we spent some time talking about that today. And that was a large bulk of what Mayo dealt with.
Yeah.
But he was asked about whether or not he would take over defensive play calls.
He's like, I've never done that.
He said, no, he's not going to do that. He said DeMarcus is doing a good job calling plays.
Is that right?
That's what he said.
Is that how he feels?
That's not how I feel.
That's not how I feel.
That's apparently how he feels.
All right.
It comes down to executing what play is called. And I'll say, it sounds like there's a bit of this from Mayo the last couple of days. Yesterday on the Greg Hill show, Curtis asked him, hey, would you coach differently if you had different personnel? Is that a safe assumption? He's like, yeah, I'd say that's a safe assumption.
Yeah, we were good. Okay. I could do more stuff.
He said he can't help the players once they go between the white lines. There's nothing I or any coach can do,
yeah.
Which I think is a laughable comment, but that's what he said. And then he said this today. It comes down to executing the play that's called. That's putting it on the players, which is also putting it on Elliott Wolf. Mayo may realize the way I survive and make it to year two is if I start throwing the other guy, the personnel guy, Elliott Wolf, under the bus.
Well, there was a day where it was the wide receivers coach. Remember, like a month ago, the wide receivers coach name got brought up a couple times. And we're like, really? We're blaming the wide receiver coach for how bad Tyquan Thornton is?
Yeah, that was like a movement from the beat writers. They're all like, boy, this Tyler Hughes guy is kind of a first-year on the job.
I'm not talking about him.
What's going on in that room? It's like, yeah, that feels like people are lashing out for a reason.
I'm like, I'm not blaming him.
Me either. Look,
and I don't think Patriots fans aren't going to say at the end of the year, let's say they win three or maybe they squeeze out one more win, right? So it's the same. Say they're 4-13. The offense isn't very good. The defense is bad. And they're like, hey, guys, we fired the wide receiver coach. Everybody else is coming back. No way. Not good enough.
No, not good enough. You need a bigger pelt. And I don't mean Van Pelt. I mean, you need to aim higher than that.
Well, no, because there's four key kind of roles, right? Head coach, both coordinators, and the GM. Like, those are the four big ones. Obviously, you have your owner, and then you have all the different players. But the other coaches, like, I'm sure they're important in their own way, but, like, you can kind of swap those guys around and, like, whatever. Like, whether Ben McAdoo or T.C. McCartney are great or not or somewhere in the middle, it really stops with those other guys. So it would have to be one of them, at least one of them, if it's the season is going the way that it is.